Thank you so much for having me. Such a joy and honor for me to share with Kairos Church, and I just feel so blessed. Since you know, Pastor Peter talked about my journeying, and this is something that I shared with a church member recently, because he was struggling with certain changes and transitions that took place in his life, and felt like, where is God when I'm doing all this for God, you know? And I was trying to console him and encourage him. I left California when I was 40 years old. And at that time, my boys had turned 3 and 1, you know? And so we packed everything up and we moved to New York, Flushing. And my older son, Jedi, he's precocious, you know. He was very fast and talking and, you know, getting things done. But when we got to New York, for the first 3 months, he would look out the window, cry, and, you know, he would say, 우리 이제 집에 가자, which means, let's go home now. Let's go home now. Took him 3 months. Every day he would cry, and he reverted back to needing diapers, which he didn't need to. And then after like 2.5 years, of serving at Remnant Church, associate pastor, you know, we had to move to New Jersey. And, you know, in New Jersey, we moved to Pell Park for 1 year and then had to move to Edgewater for 1 year. And after that, God moved us to Philadelphia. And, you know, we were serving there. And so we were moving so frequently. My boys would always ask after each move, end of the year, they would say, Daddy, do we get to go back to same school next year? And their hesitancy was they didn't want to make friends. Because it was so hard for them to make friends and have to say goodbye, knowing that they would have to move again. And so only after like third year in Philadelphia, I saw them relaxing and I saw them make friends. And after that, Pastor Young and I had talked about going long together. You know, we said, okay, let's go long together. I would stay in Philly with him and serve under him and team ministry, and everything seemed perfect, and I was very happy. But then something happened in Remnant, and they needed me to come and pastor them. And, you know, I fought that. I knew instinctively that was what was going to happen, but I fought that, and I tried not to be the pastor to them, but I said I would help in any way possible, but I really didn't want to leave Philadelphia. But God was making it very clear for us that we needed to go to Remnant, New York, and, you know, pastor the people there. And so I was trying to break the news to my boys. At that time, Jedi was 12 years old, Jeremy 10. And as I began to tell the story of needing to go, they just began to bawl. They were like weeping. They knew what was coming. And my heart was breaking. And so, you know, what do you do as a father when your children are crying? You lie, right? So I said, guys, if you don't want to go, we don't have to go. You know, I'm not going to go. You know, if you don't want to go, I will not go. And I remember so clearly, Jedi says that in my quiet time today, I read that God's ways are higher than our ways. And if God wants us to go and serve them, we should go. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. God was making his heart known to me through my son, who was 12 years old, crying because he didn't want to go. But he was telling me, Dad, we need to go. If this is what God wants, you know, for our family. And so I feel like moving around was so painful and so difficult, but through the following and trusting in God, we've experienced so much of his faithfulness, so much of his favor, so much of his kindness, and that just his reminder to us that he is God and he is good. This morning, I want to share with you a passage from Genesis 17. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7, and then also 15 and 16. Genesis 17, verse 1 goes, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Verse 15, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. And so Abram was 99 years old when God shows up in this text that we just read. In chapter 16, the very last verse of Genesis 16 is, Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him a son, Ishmael. So 13 years after the fact, Ishmael is now 13 years old. Abram is 99 years old. His wife, Sarah, is 90 years old. Now, Abram experienced God in such a powerful way. In Genesis 12, when God showed up and he invited Abram, leave your father and go to the land that I will show you. I will cause you to be a blessing. And through you, all the people on earth will be blessed. Right? What a promise. What an adventure. What an exciting invitation. And Abram believed in God. And because he believed in God, it was counted to him as righteousness. And so without knowing where to go, simply because God said, leave and follow me, he did. But he goes through up and down. There was famine, and he tried to go to Egypt and try to, you know, tell people that his wife was his sister. All kinds of shenanigans, and his nephew who followed him separates from him and goes into Sodom, and that's where trouble started. Other kings in that area conspired to war against Sodom and Gomorrah, and they defeated Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took all these people captive, including Abram's nephew, Lot. And so Abram happened to have 320 men who were trained. And he had this mercenary, group of mercenaries, so he goes after in order to rescue his nephew. And he defeats all these kings, and he rescues his Lot, and he comes back with all this plunder. But then he doesn't keep the plunder because he tells the king of Sodom, hey, you know what? I don't want people to tell me that I got rich through you. I want to be known as a guy who became rich because of God's blessing. So he gives up all the spoils and he rescues his nephew. But as he was thinking about it, he's like, I just made enemies with all these kings around me. And all my effort to rescue my Lot, I have nothing to show for because the spoils I left behind with the king of Sodom. But in Genesis 15, that's when God shows up and he says, Abram, I am your shield. I am your great reward. Can you imagine hearing that? That's what Abram needed to hear from God at that point in his life. That's the exact thing he needed to hear. He needed God to be his shield. He was fearful of his enemies surrounding him, but God says, I am your shield. I will protect you. Are you fretting the fact that you gave up all those lucrative, plunder? I am your great reward. I will make your name great. See, as God told Moses, whom shall I tell people has sent me? And God says, tell them, I am has sent you, right? I am able to meet your needs. I am able to be your God. I am willing and able to be your salvation. That I am, in the great moment of Abram's need, God says, I am your shield. I am your great reward. Now, after having that encounter with God, and after having that covenant time where he split the animals and the fire of God went between them, next chapter, Abram compromises. He wanted a son, but it was not happening. And his wife said, I have a brilliant idea. Why don't you take my maidservant, Hagar, and see if she can give you a son? He said, okay, if you want me to. And he does, and she bears him a son, Ishmael. But this is not how God was going to give him a son. God specifically said, I am going to give you a son through your wife. This was not the son of promise. This was through compromise. And sometimes in our lives, this is what we do. We know God's promise is there. We know that this is what he's spoken about. This is the conviction that he's given to us. It may be a calling, it may be an invitation, it may be a passion that he's given to us, and this is something we've been praying for, and we've been working so hard, making sacrifices, but we're not really seeing the result that we've been hoping for. And so sometimes we compromise. Sometimes we give up. Sometimes we allow the vision to die. 13 years after Ishmael was born, I'm sure Abram was looking back on his life. I had a pretty good life. I didn't even know God, and God showed up. He invited me to this great adventure. I followed him. It was difficult at times, but it was exciting. It was powerful. I am now rich. I didn't get to have a son with my wife, but I have a son, Ishmael, and he's going to be my heir. I guess this is as good as it gets. I guess I have to make peace with the realities of my life right here and now. And this is when God shows up to Abram again. And what does God say? God says, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai, which means I am the God of omnipotence. I am the God to him there is nothing that is impossible. What you think is impossible, what you think is past opportunity, what you think is a season now only left for you to simply having to embrace because there are no alternatives. God says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And I am here to let you know, I am God Almighty, and what I have promised to you, I am going to fulfill. You're 99 years old. You lived 13 years of trying to deal with the fact that you compromised, and you did not do it my way, but you did it your way, and there's been all kinds of anguish and strife because you took in another woman and her son. But God says, I am here, and I am God Almighty, and I am going to fulfill my promise, my covenant with you. And then he gives Abram two commandments, two commands. He says, walk before me and be blameless. You see, when Abram was frustrated because his wife was not conceiving, and when Abram was at his wit's end, no matter what he tried, wasn't working, and when his wife pulled him aside and said, why don't you go into my maidservant? Why don't you try having a son with Hagar? He wasn't walking before the Lord. That was something he did, hiding from the Lord. That was the compromise of his faith. And sometimes when we're desperate, sometimes when we are depressed, sometimes when we are discouraged or fearful, We do not live our lives before the presence of God, but we take a step back and we walk in the shadows where we are hoping that God will not see. But God says, Abram, I want you to walk before me. I want your life to be an open book to me. Every segment of your life, I want you to invite me and engage me. Live as a man of God, acknowledging that I am with you, that I am for you, and I am willing and able to do for you what I promised. So many times, we respond to things, and we think about things, and we make decisions and choices as if God doesn't exist. That we are our own kings. We have to fend for ourselves. It is through our hard work. It is through our scheming. It is through our choices that we can make something happen. And that is the lie, that is the temptation that comes from the enemy. God says, Abram, I want you to walk before me. I want you to live your life in my presence. I want to ask you, how do you respond to this invitation? Because this is a loving invitation. This is not an invitation so that he can figure out what bad things you're doing and he can condemn you and punish you. But he wants you and I to live our lives before his presence, walk before him, because he wants us to be blameless. How can we be blameless? How can we live a life that is without mistakes, without sin, in our own power? You and I have tried. It is not difficult, it is impossible. But God says, when you walk before me, when you live a life before me, even if you should falter, even if you should make mistakes, even if you find that you are in a difficult or impossible situation, if you walk before me, I can help you. I can empower you. I can strengthen you. And if you should falter, I can pick you up. I can bring healing. I can bring forgiveness, restoration of our relationship if you walk before me. This season of pandemic, it's gone on for such a long time, hasn't it? And we're weary. We're weary of doing the right thing. And some people are just getting so tired of being restricted. And in this season of your life, what are you experiencing as you draw near to the Lord? Maybe, like Abraham, you are saying, I guess that vision was never meant to be. Maybe that door I've been knocking on is just not going to open. Maybe these are the cards that I've been dealt with, and there's not going to be a better day. Maybe I just have to accept things the way they are. But that's the perceived reality. The true reality takes place when Jesus steps in. Jesus said, hey, I am the truth, the way and life. And when Jesus enters the picture, when you invite God into the picture, he clears all the clutter. And he shows us what true reality is. To Abram, his age, his physical ability or inability, and the circumstances of his life, they were all shouting at him. They were all telling him, it is now impossible for you to have a son through your wife. And then God shows up and he says, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Do you believe me? And would you walk before me and be blameless that I can keep my covenant before you? And God wants to elevate Abram's expectation. So he changes his name. Abram, I'm not going to call you Abram anymore. I'm going to call you Abraham. Abram means a respected father. That's all he ever wanted. I just want a son to call me dad. I just want to be a father of a boy. That's all I ever wanted through my wife. And it wasn't going to happen. And I know it's not going to happen because I'm 99 years old. And my wife is 90 years old. God says, that was your expectation of yourself, to be a father to a boy. Now let me reveal to you my expectation and my plans for you. You're not just going to be a father to a boy. You're going to be a father to nations. You're going to be the father of faith through which all the people on earth will be blessed. And he says, I'm also going to change your wife's name. She will no longer be called Sarai, which means my princess. Cute, right? He calls his wife my princess. God says, no, she's not going to remain as your princess, but she's going to be the mother of all nations. See, what we hope for and what we shoot for is so limited. It's so small. But what our Heavenly Father is willing and able to do, as we, you know, we love this passage, Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work in us. See, this is the promise, the power of God, the omnipotent power of God, Almighty God, whose power is at work in us. If his power is at work in us, he is willing and able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. All Abraham wanted, all he imagined was, I want to be a father to a boy. God says, I'm going to make you the father of nations. I'm going to make your wife the mother of nations. And he changes their name to remind them that this is the covenant I made with you, and this is the covenant that I am going to keep. And in the portion of the text that we didn't read, God says, in order to remind you of this promise, this covenant, I am going to ask you to be circumcised. All the males in your household will be circumcised. And it was a physical reminder to help them remember that God is almighty, and he's a God who is willing and able to fulfill the covenant that he has made with you. Now, in our day and age, we don't need to be circumcised because, as Romans chapter 2 tells us, it's about spiritual circumcision, right? A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. Right? So we become a person of spiritual circumcision that we remember and that we are reminded and we hold on to the promise of God because we firmly believe that according to his faithfulness, according to his promise, according to his power, that he will keep the covenant that is made with us. And so I want to encourage you this morning, as all of us are in different places, different circumstances, and if you feel like you are at a place where maybe Abraham was, having lived a pretty good life, having experienced good enough goodness of God, yet never quite fully experiencing that joy of having that one promise, that son to be born through his wife. And he was just going to settle. I have Ishmael, and Ishmael will be my heir. And I guess this is as good as it's going to be. And God reminds Abraham, Abraham, not so with me. I am the keeper of the covenant. When you look at your circumstances and when you give in to the pressures of your circumstances and you do not invite God to be the one to dictate and to work his power and his passions for us, then we will always fall short of tasting the goodness of God. But God's invitation to us is, would you recognize and would you believe that I am El Shaddai? And because you know that I am faithful and I love you, would you choose to live your life before me? Not living that Christian life that you can show off to other people, but to live a life that is genuine before God, even when no one is watching. I have a friend, and he goes to a Korean church, and you know, he's been doing service through Zoom. And he said one day his pastor, as he began the service, he said this. He said, okay, dear people, we're going to start the Sunday service. So put your feet down from your table and let's worship God. And he said that's where he was exactly. He had his feet up on the table, you know, leaning back into the couch, and he was just watching this service. And he felt like the pastor was looking right at him. He felt so ashamed. Immediately he put his feet down. But that's who we are many times. When no one is watching, we stop putting on the performance. But to be a person who is spiritually circumcised, our praise is not from the people. Our praise is from God. God who sees all things, God who knows your heart, God who knows your passion, who is willing and able to hear your prayer and answer your prayer, that we would live a life before our Heavenly Father and not before the people for their praise. Precious people, I want to encourage you this morning as God draws near to you and whatever the circumstance you're going through right now, that he would declare over you that he is God Almighty. And his invitation to you is, come back. Walk before me. Come back, walk before me, and be blameless, because I will help you. I will empower you to live a life that is pleasing to me. Let's invite him into our life. Let's learn to engage him again so intimately in every segment of our lives. Let's pray together. I really want to invite you to really open your heart to the Lord. Maybe you've compromised. Maybe you felt the guilt or shame of compromising. And because of that, you feel that God is not really accepting of your prayer, of your worship. But I want you to remember that it was God who drew near to Abraham. It was God who came to Abraham and invited him to walk before him, to be blameless, to change his name, to change his destiny, and to remind him that he will fulfill the covenant that he's made with him. Our Father's heart is wide open for you. He's inviting you into his presence today. Let's draw near and say, Dad, I'm here. Daddy, I need you so much. With my effort, with my trying so hard, I hit a dead end. But you are El Shaddai. You are God Almighty. I come before you. I want to walk before you. I want to be blameless in your sight. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we invite you. Father, reveal to us your heart. Reveal to us your faithfulness. Reveal to us your passion. Father, that we would not simply run and hide from your presence because of guilt and shame. Father, that we would not be clothed in guilt and shame and brokenness, believing that this is where we are supposed to be. But Lord, would you draw near to us, reach out to us, and lift us up out of this despair as you declare over us that you are El Shaddai, that you are our shield, you are our great reward, and your desires and your plans and your passions is to fulfill the covenant that you made with us, to bring to fruition all the promises that you have declared over us. Father, we desire to walk before you. We desire to engage you so intimately that our passions unto you would be so stirred that we would feel the joy of being enveloped by your presence, by your love, as we draw near to you. Lord, come and have your way with us. Lord, come and declare to us who you are, our loving Father, our Almighty God, who is willing and able to do far more exceedingly than all that we can ask or imagine, because of the power of God that is at work within us. Father, we thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.